Everyone say, it's wonderful to be wonderful.
It's great to be great.
I had a nice experience. I was going to go through my book and find a nice quote on our lesson this morning, which is how to stop stopping yourself, and I realized the entire book is how to stop stopping yourself. How many know that's true? And if you don't know, the book's in the bookstore. I'll be happy to sign it after. Anyhow. Let's all affirm together, there is one life in me, as me, that knows what to do and knows how to do it if I get my bloated nothingness out of the way and let it do it. How many know that many times what has happened to you in the process of your ongoingness, if you find yourself stopped and you get rid of the blame game, you realize I'm stopped because I made what? I made a choice to hit the brakes. You see, we wake up to a greater idea when we know, as the great, the good, and the wise have always known and taught, that wherever your mind goes, your world follows. And if your mind stops where it is and starts repeating itself, you're going to keep having the same experience over and over and over. I was talking to my mother-in-law before the service started, and we were talking about the new James Bond book. How many are James Bond fans? And I've been reading it forever since they first came out. And they have a new book out called Devil May Care, which is a tribute to Ian Fleming, which this would be his 100th birthday. And in the process of going through the story, all of a sudden I realized I'm reading Goldfinger. It's just another case. Because the villain is greedy, and you know, Goldfinger likes to cheat at cards, and this one likes to cheat at tennis. I mean, it's just, you know. And so what it is, it's the same story with a different characters. How many have had the same story with different characters at least once in your life? Okay. And you know why that's true? Because you didn't change consciousness. You see, once we wake up, and somebody had a talk with me the other day, and they said, I'm so glad I'm back. And I said, what? And they said, when I first came here, it really disturbed me because you people were saying, that I am cause to everything that happens in my life. Well, we're not the first one to say that. What did Jesus say 2,000 years ago? It's done unto you how? As you believe. Your belief system is creating your event. Your belief system is creating what you're living in. And if you don't like what you're living in, if you don't like what's happening to you, if you do what? If you stop looking for the answer out here and find it where Jesus said it is within us, and do what? Wake up to a new idea of yourself and let the new idea begin to think. All of a sudden, something new begins to happen. Why? It happens out here new because it happened in here new. So you stop stopping yourself when you wake up and know that there is a possibility of something greater and greater. Not just repeating what you've heard or repeating what you've been or when, you know, following rules and regulations. It's waking up to unlimited possibility, which is waiting for you. I had a Presbyterian minister who was taking classes with me, and he was a retired Presbyterian minister, and he came up and said, this is the hardest religion on the planet. And I said, why? He said, because you don't have any rules and regulations. You got to make up your own. You know, Dr. Holmes said, what's right for you, do it. What's wrong, don't. And you have sense enough to know what's right and wrong for you. You don't need some minister telling you. Go. How many have gone through that? Well, I better go to my church and find out what I should do. Well, how about going within and tapping into your own wisdom, your own knowledge, your own intelligence? Okay. Remember the great metaphysician, Henny Youngman? This is one of the greatest metaphysical lessons ever taught. I've been teaching it for 35 years. He said, the guy goes to the doctor and says, it hurts when I do this. What can I do about it? What did the doctor say? Don't do it anymore. See? My life hurts if I think this way. What do you want to do? Think a new way. See? Rethink yourself. How many have proved to yourself, if you rethink yourself, you change your life? How many have already proved that to yourself? Okay. How many know if it worked once, it always works? Okay. One of the things we always do in first year class, because a lot of times in first year class, you have students who hear this and just do it. Man, they hit the ground running. I got a bunch of them are now ministers in my church. But the challenge is they hear it and do it. But a lot of times people come to first year class and they look at people hearing it and doing it, and they get all upset because, it works for them, doesn't work for me. Why doesn't it work for them? Everyone say belief. See, you can, you know, the first lesson I ever heard in religious science, I was 23 years old, walked into Founders Church, 20,000 members in Los Angeles. I was sitting up in the balcony as far as I could get away from anybody with an escape passage right next to me in case they tried to dip me in something or do something to me. And I'm sitting up there, and Dr. William Hornaday walked out, and I thought God had come to earth. I had never heard anything so great in my life. And Bill Hornaday stood up there that morning and said, "You are what you think you are. You can do what you think you can do. The only limits you have are limits you're placing on yourself. And if you want to get over there, you can get over there. But the only way you're going to get over there is make up your mind to do it and then discover how to move forward. Learn how to move forward." You see, whatever you're doing now, you've learned how to do. And if you don't like what you're doing, learn how to do something else. Learn how to be something else in consciousness. There was a family that were having a dinner. They were all sitting around the table, and the mother looked over at the six-year-old daughter who's sitting there and said, "Dear, would you like to say the blessing?" She said, "I wouldn't know what to say." The mother said, "Well, just say what mommy says, sweetie." So the daughter looked up at all of them, bowed her head, and said, "Dear Lord, why the hell did I invite all these people to dinner?" How many been there, done that? Everyone say, there is a challenge. Now, the challenge is not outside of you. Your challenge is to wake up to your own possibility. Your challenge is to know that no matter what you know, there's that much more to know. See, one of the things that gets in the way of us is we've got our mind made up about what we can do and be and experience. On page 93 of this wonderful book I wrote, I'm talking about allowing yourself to act from infinite love. Don't try to get to it. You already are it. And I have a beautiful quote from Dr. Raymond Charles Barker that I love. And I want, this has meant a great deal to me. And we used to celebrate it every time Dr. Barker would have us affirm it with him. And I want you to listen to it because it's very simple. But listen to how powerful it is. Say it with me. God loves the world by means of me. Do you love the world you're in? Or do you just hate everything around? I just hate what they're doing, hate what they're doing, hate what they're doing. You know what? If you got rid of all of them, you just go somewhere else and find something else to hate. Because haters will always fill their life full of things to hate in order to prove themselves they're haters. Victims will always fill their lives full of victimizers in order to keep proving they're victims. What if you change your mind and change your life? What if you said, "I've had enough of this. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I'm ready to change my consciousness and change my life, and if I don't know how, I can learn." That's why we teach classes in religious science. You see, our challenge is to do what? There's a beautiful song that says these words. Say it with me. The love that I give in the hour I live is the measure of the life I lead. See, what love are you giving in this hour? You have a great challenge. You have a great challenge every day of your life to understand that there is a power, there is a law, and there is an action, and it's right where you are. There is a power looking out of your eyes at you and my eyes at me. It is the same power. It individualized as us. You have an experience within it beyond anything anybody else's experience, as I do. And because, as Emerson said, there's no, imitation is suicide. There's no two things alike. If there was, there wouldn't be any use for them. When we begin to celebrate our individuality within this thing called life and honor the fact that we have never happened before, this unique thing that we are, this great thing that we are, this magnificent thing we are, is waiting for what? Our next idea to become our experience. Why limit yourself when the truth of you is unlimited possibility? Why limit yourself when you can, as Dr. Holmes said, everyone thinks, but few people think about what they think about. This is why, for 34 years standing in this pulpit, I have been asking this question. And it's one of the questions that I ask that many times you have to ask it many times before you discover what you're asking. Everybody say with me, is what I think?
What I think?
How many know that some part of your life may very well have existed at the level of what somebody else thought about you and you believed them? Is what I think what I think? And what can you think? All things are possible. You see, if you rethink yourself, your world will change for the better. Change your mind, change your life. Is what I think what I think? When you do this, you discover something. You discover by way of awakening, self-awakening, that you wake up to a higher, greater, more beautiful definition of you than you've ever known before. What you're searching for, you're searching with. Everyone say, I choose to be change for the better. I choose to stop stopping myself. You see, the loving, happy person you want to be is just waiting to get out. You don't have to get to it. When you change and celebrate the truth of you, you change and celebrate the truth of your event, your life. What do you do when inspiration comes? How many have had great inspiration? You just sit around and say, oh, isn't that nice? Okay. You know, Dr. Holmes said inspiration without application is hallucination. My teacher, Dr. Craig Carter, used to say, you know, you can starve to death while being inspired. Okay, your challenge is to what? If you have an inspiration, act on it. If you have an inspiration of a higher definition, know it's good enough to be true. Okay. How many know that you can whine, moan, groan, and complain about life as long as you want to, and as long as you keep whining and moaning and groaning, even nobody else sees anything to whine, moan, and groan about? If you do, you're going to have a whining, moaning, groaning experience. Okay? Until you do what? Zip your lip, shut up, and go forward. Okay? See, if you don't want it in your life, stop talking about it all the time. If you don't want it in your life, stop expecting it and start expecting something new and beautiful. Great possibility. How many were here last Sunday afternoon? I'll tell you what, in 34 years, I've never seen anything better in this place. Was a great, great day. If you weren't here, shame on you. She's coming back in about a year. Don't miss it. I'm telling you, this was great last Sunday with Karen here. And how many know that last Sunday, I swear, I don't think you'd pay $500 a seat and go to Vegas and get what we got Sunday afternoon. How many thought it was absolutely wonderful? Give it a hand. Yes, beautiful. But I'm sure there could have been somebody saying,
well, this is just terrible in a church singing like that.
Good. We had the choir practicing one night, and somebody, I don't know, she was out here in the neighborhood somewhere, and she said,
have you heard the music they sing in that church? Why don't they sing Christian music?
Were you there when they... No, get out of here. Okay. Now, everyone say, the universe is a spiritual system. Now, the universe is a spiritual system, and this is what the study of the science of mind is all about, is how do we understand this spiritual system and apply it to our life? How do we get more understanding and apply it in our way and let go and let the beautiful happen? You see, events, circumstances, where do they have their origin? They have their origin within us. We are what we think about. The challenge we have is to know that everything we have has allowed itself to spring from the seeds we have sown. If we don't like what we're growing, we can dig it up and plant some new seeds and grow a new crop. We can let go. Henry David Thoreau pointed this out years and years and years ago. This idea, and Henry David Thoreau, if you don't know, is one of our great uncles. He was absolutely wonderful, as was Ralph Waldo Emerson, as was Emily Dickinson, as was Walt Whitman, as was all of those wonderful transcendentalists, Abraham Lincoln, all of those beautiful people back in the 1800s who stood for equal rights for women in 1850, who stood for the Emancipation Proclamation, who stood for freedom of the individual. Dr. Albert Schweitzer who was great, great friends of Ernest Holmes. And before William Hornaday became a minister, Dr. Holmes said, "Bill, I want you to be a religious science minister. You're going to be a great one. But before you do it, I'm going to send you two places." He sent him to Africa to spend a year with Albert Schweitzer, and he sent him to Zurich, Switzerland, to spend 2 years with Dr. Carl Jung. Albert Schweitzer had a great, great influence on Bill Hornaday and Dr. Ernest Holmes. Listen to these words of Albert Schweitzer, who said, "To educate yourself for the feeling of gratitude means to take nothing for granted, but to always seek out the value and value the kind of ideas and attitudes that will stand behind the action. Nothing that is done for you is a matter of course. Everything originates in the will for the good, which is directed at you. Train yourself never to put off the word or action for the expression of gratitude." Very interesting. You see, a practicing religious scientist lives at the level of the attitude of gratitude. I am grateful for that which no one sees but me. I don't care what the world sees around me. I see the truth of me, and that's what I act and react from. You see, when you give your best, it returns. So my challenge this morning to you is never put off the best in your life. Stop stopping yourself and let go, and let your idea of yourself manifest from your ideal. We have been affirming these words for 34 years here. Say with me, all my dreams are what? Waiting for me to come true. See, all your dreams are waiting for you to come true. You see, when we know and know we know the best of self is unfolding, we begin to do what? We begin to move forward. I found this as I was preparing my lesson today. And these were notes from students who have studied with us, who said these words: "Being in class has given me a bigger picture of God and made me think. Class has answered a lot of questions and bring up even more. It's helped reinforce the very ideas I have been studying for years. My mind is now free from the undercurrent of negative self-talk." Okay, how many feel that you are suffering less from negative self-talk than you used to? Isn't that a great thing? Okay, you know, we all live the same 24 hours. You know, Dr. Holmes used to say, the happiest person on the planet and the unhappiest person on the planet are spending the same 24 hours to think. What are you doing with your thinking every 24 hours? Another student said, "Sundays are inspiring, but classes are what where I really learned how to change my thinking, change my life." I love Jerry. Can I say what you told Cynthia? Reverend Dr. Cynthia got a call from Jerry here, and Jerry says, "What? You just went through?" Yeah, the glossary. Anyhow, Jerry said that she was going through the glossary in the Science of Mind textbook, and it changed her life. And she called up Cynthia, and she says, "Why don't you do a class on the glossary?" And Cynthia started jumping up and down. "Hey, I got a new class." Anyhow, so Cynthia loves to teach, but anyhow, so we are starting a new class called Vocabulary 101. And it's going to start March 15th and Sunday afternoon, and it's open to everybody. And Cynthia's going to start in the glossary of the textbook and expand on it and go into it and go for it. So you're all invited to do it. But if you think you know this, remember, we have our own vocabulary, and a lot of the words that orthodoxy use do not mean the same thing in religious science that it did in orthodoxy. So we find ourselves doing what? Here's what another student said: "Classes have given me practical tools to identify, address, and change limited self-sabotage beliefs that are in the way of my dreams." Isn't that nice? Another one said, "Come in and open up. Come in with an open mind. Expect growth where you never saw it need for it before. Expect change everywhere." And another one said, "I am learning to live in integrity and honesty without self-deception of any kind." Listen, What happens to you when you get rid of self-deception is a quantum leap beyond anything you've ever dreamed of. You see, self-deception is what sabotages us. The idea that you still buy into that you're here to suffer, you're here to be a worm in the dust, or you're here to, you know, you're here to have hell, or you have heaven sometime later. Jesus said it's here and now. He said you can search low for it, low here, low there for it. Well, on his 97th birthday, which was close to my 28th or 29th birthday, Dr. Fenwick Holmes said to me, here's your birthday present. He said, live as if you're going to die tomorrow, but learn as if you're going to live forever. That's your birthday present, Jay. Okay. And I said, well, what does that mean? No. No, I didn't. Everyone say with me, I choose to realize that I am standing in the midst of great good. My belief lets it happen. My faith moves me forward. You see, if you begin today with a fresh idea of you, you will start a fresh beginning. No matter what the story is, you find yourself having a joyous adventure. You find yourself on a pathway of eternal progress. But don't wait forever to discover it. Your challenge is to discover it now. Your challenge is to be it now. Your challenge is to let go and let something happen in your mind and heart that has never happened before. Today is a fresh beginning. Right now is a fresh beginning. Right now is a new start. Right now is a joyous adventure. Right now is your next step down that path, that eternal path that knows only the beautiful. Dr. Holmes said, just knowing about this does not mean you're going to be problem-free, but if one shows up, you're going to know what to do about it. Today is bright with hope, we are told. Today is bright with happiness, we are promised. It is bright with fulfillment. This the great have told us very clearly. Everyone affirm with me. I affirm that this is the day the Lord has made. It is good. And I find fulfillment in it. I stop stopping myself and start something beautiful beyond anything I've known before. It is a beautiful thing to be me. Turn to somebody next to you and say, it's a beautiful thing to be you. And it's a beautiful thing to be us, dear people. Namaste. Thank you for being here today. Good.